Bala eyed the stairs dubiously.
There's really a tavern down there somewhere?
A pretty big one, actually. There's another door at the bottom, and it opens into a series of galleries that were a part of the old sewer system before they hired in Durkot to dig the whole thing deeper down into the bedrock.
And they serve food there? In the sewers?
It's been high and dry for 5 centuries. Plenty of time to clean things up. This is one of the few parts of the city where basements make any sense, because we're above the water table, but not yet so high that they have to be cut out of stone.
All right.
Bala started down the ladder hesitantly.
But I'm glad we ate before we came, and I'm not drinking anything that doesn't come in a sealed bottle with a familiar label.
That's always a good idea at an alley knocker. You never know when a shadow side distiller might decide to cut the product with a little wood alcohol or add in some of the more interesting sorts of mushroom.
Well, that's reassuring. Why don't...
Bala's expression went suddenly far away, and it was Voss looking through her eyes.
Arl, it's a trap. Durkot, they've grabbed Stell.
She whipped out one of her battle wands and pointed it straight at my face. Before I could move, she'd blown the ceiling out of the little staircase.
Run!
The earth opened beneath her. I leaped straight up and caught the jagged lip of the floor above, hauling myself into someone's parlor. I didn't want to leave her behind, but the familiar link meant that if they had Stell, they had Bala too. All that my staying would do was add another name to the list of prisoners. Triss slid upward, sheathing me in shadows as I looked around for my next step, a door leading to the stairs, perhaps. A chair toppled over as the building began to shake. It felt like a giant was pulling at the foundations. I opened my hands and pointed my palms at the ceiling. Triss handed me the reins of his will, and I let loose a burst of mage lightning. I opened up another hole in the ceiling. Up I went. And again. Through an attic crawl space and onto the roof with a red summer sun rising over the bay. Its angry rays turned the water to blood. Flames fell around me as a sorcerer of the elite ran out into the street in front of the Nunsuch, lashing at me with his magic. Major Igo. A shirt smoldered where one of the flames caught hold of the cloth. I felt the heat like a slap along the injured side of my face and had to fight down the urge to strike back, more for Triss's sake than my own, because we couldn't afford the delay. Instead, I pushed Triss outward to form a cloud of shadow around me, and I ran. Leaping across a cramped wind that ran between the Nunsuch and its nearest neighbor to the southwest, fire bloomed red and raging in the roof of the building that held the Nunsuch, sending smoke clawing skyward. A fountain of sparks went up somewhere behind me. The watch was called to attention, as well as any other forces the elite might have in the area. The shaking that had battered the Nunsuch followed me to the next building over. I stumbled, almost missing my jump across the narrow street that divided the block holding the Nunsuch from the next one that bordered on the main street between the Magelander's Quarter and Little Varian. People ran this way and that in the streets below me as the very surface of the earth heaved and twisted beneath their feet, shaping itself to the will of the Durkot moving in the deeps. The smoke from the burning building rose ever higher, telling a tale of fire unchecked in the face of panic. I traveled through a war of the elements. Air was my ally, buoying me up as I made one mad leap after another across the rooftops. Earth and fire bayed at my heels, closing off the north and west. Shadow held and hid me from the rising light in the east as it tried to betray me to my enemies. Before I knew it, I was racing toward the edge of a building with an unbridgeable gap beyond. I sped up, throwing out wings of shadow as I leaped into space. The war of the elements continued. Out and down I fell, dropping through empty air, until water enfolded me when I plunged deep into the Channery Canal. Full morning had come, and the stagnant waters of the canal were a madness of boats of every size and description. I swam a long way through foul water before surfacing in the shade of a small pleasure boat. It was some noble's fancy, fast and fit and heading out to the river proper. I sank a shadow-pointed dagger into the hull, well below the waterline to provide me a hold. I pulled a link of my broken-down blowgun from my trick bag then, and put it in my mouth with my free hand. Submerging myself in water and shadow, I clung to the boat like a lamprey battened onto the side of some fat sea serpent, letting it drag me along beneath the surface. Breathing through my slender lengths of reinforced bamboo, I left my enemies behind. Earth and fire and light momentarily defeated by darkness and deep water. allowed me to process the last few incidents. I wondered whether I'd been set up by Faye and Sergeant Zishin, or if they'd been betrayed as well. The answer to that question was the next thing I had to find out. I needed to find and free the Dyad as quickly as possible, but I couldn't do that until I knew who had her and why. Until then, I would force myself to box up my concerns for her and lock them away in the back of my mind. I had to. Whether it was just or not, the Dyad had come to matter to me, especially Vala, and I'd failed her. If I didn't put that aside for the moment, the guilt and distraction might kill me, and that wouldn't do her any good at all. So, when the canal disgorged itself into the Zien River, I pried my dagger loose. I swam to a barge heading upriver toward the palace quarter and Faye's office, focusing wholly on what I had to do next, instead of why.